tell you, it is really good to be back with you this morning. Not exactly the way that I had hoped it to be, but nonetheless, I'm thankful for what we have. I want to also thank you for praying for me during my illness, and thankfully I am doing better and very, very glad to be here this morning. If you will remember, we have been talking about spiritual gifts, 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. But this morning, I want to interject a message that is still in the, most of it in the book of 1st and 2nd Corinthians, but it is an integral part of our understanding spiritual gifts and service unto the Lord. And if you have missed all of the sermons on spiritual gifts, this is the one you need to hear. So let's together this morning walk through this process that the Bible speaks of and is adamant about with regard to our serving the Lord while we are here on earth. Now, in general terms, the Bible speaks of two primary judgments that are going to take place at the end of this age. Now, the number of judgments can be debated, but there is no question that there are two primary judgments that will take place at the end of this time. The first one is called the Great White Throne Judgment. The second one is called the Judgment Seat of Christ. In other words, there are going to be these two separate, distinct judgments. One judgment for lost people, one judgment for Christian people. One final verdict for the unbelieving, and a time where there is ruling over the lives of believers. Now, in these two separate judgments, the Great White Throne Judgment and the Judgment Seat of Christ, the Bible addresses three critical parts of each of these judgments. Now stay with me. We will need to focus on these three things with regard to both judgments. First of all, who? For whom is this judgment intended? Secondly, how? What manner will this judgment be carried out? What are the rules of each judgment? What is the process of each judgment? And then thirdly, why? The reason or the purpose for each of these judgments. So in the judgment seat, in the Great White Throne Judgment, we'll look at who, how, why. In the judgment seat of Christ, we will look at these same three things: who, how, and why. All right, we'll start with the Great White Throne Judgment. This event is spoken of in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. Let me read those for us this morning. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, first, with regard to this end time judgment called the Great White Throne, who will be there? For whom did God create this end time judgment where masses of people will be gathered to stand before God? Who will be there? Well, in general terms, the unsaved dead. People who died without faith, with rejecting the offer of God's salvation. How do we know this? Well, again, the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works, and death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. Now, I'm not going to be cast into the lake of fire. You're not going to be cast into the lake of fire. And yet all who were there at the Great White Throne judgment are eventually going to be judged, condemned, and cast into the lake of fire. So we, as believers, are not going to be present at the Great White Throne judgment. The Great White Throne judgment is for the unbelieving dead, the disembodied souls of those who rejected God's offer of salvation. These are the dead who have been suffering in torment in a place called Hades. The Old Testament referred to Sheol. The New Testament refers to Hades. And these are places of torment that are in the intermediate state. Now, I'm not talking about the Catholic doctrine of purgatory. I'm talking about a holding cell where there is torment. And these will then be gathered before God at the Great White Throne judgment, where they will have their final condemnation, final judgment, to be cast into the lake of fire. What we would see before us in this mass of humanity at the Great White Throne judgment is the best of the best that humanity can offer, and the worst of the worst that humanity can offer. In other words, gathered in that great event of the Great White Throne judgment will be people who have committed the most shocking, appalling, and horrific crimes that this world has ever seen. But also in the mix at the Great White Throne judgment will be some of the best that humanity can offer. There will be hordes of good people, good-natured people, good-hearted people, kind people, generous people, wholesome people, good people, but lost people. That's the who of the great white throne. It is the unsaved dead. Now, how is this great white throne judgment going to operate? The how. What's going to happen at this great white throne? What are the rules, procedures, guidelines that will direct the judgment of this sea of lost humanity? Well, we're told that there will be two sets of books that will be by the side of the Lion of Judah. One set of books is called the books of works. In those books will be recorded every name of humanity and every thought, every deed, every moment of our lives will be captured in those books under our name. There'll be another set of books that will govern the great white throne, and that is the Lamb's Book of Life. Inscribed in the Lamb's Book of Life is every born-again believer. And so, as this sea of humanity comes before the great white throne of God, their names will be researched in the Lamb's Book of Life, and it won't be found. Therefore, the books of works will be researched, and their name will be found. And every person there will be judged by what is recorded in the book of works under their name. Every deed, every thought, every moment of their lives. And they will be judged then by the holiness, righteousness of God based upon the deeds of their life. Now, why is this judgment taking place? Well, in a word, for punishment. It's condemnation. This is the judgment that's been predicted, warned, and the righteous sentence passed on those who refused God's offer of salvation. And they will be condemned into everlasting hell, the lake of fire. Now again, you and I will not be a part of the great white throne judgment, thankfully. But we don't get off easy either. The second primary judgment that the Bible speaks of is called the judgment seat of Christ. Now, there are two passages, one in 2 Corinthians 5 and the other in 1 Corinthians 3, that address this issue of this judgment seat of Christ. Follow with me as I read first 2 Corinthians 5, verses 9 through 10. And again, Paul is addressing the issue of the judgment seat of Christ. Therefore, he says, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him, to Jesus. For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. The judgment seat of Christ. Now remember, to whom Paul was writing these letters to Corinth. They were going to the church at Corinth, who was known to be independent, selfish, stubborn, proud, kind of a do my own thing type of people. Therefore, in both letters that Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, he addressed this issue of the judgment seat of Christ. He was realizing that these people there in the town of Corinth were missing something of spiritual worth. They were still living their lives selfishly, independently. And Paul saw this and understood this and felt he needed to interject this truth of the judgment for Christians in both the letters he wrote to the church at Corinth. He says, "For all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ." All of us, all Christians, all believers, not just the church at Corinth. This is for all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one of us may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So the great white throne judgment is for lost humanity, and the judgment seat of Christ then is for the people of God. So then, the judgment seat of Christ is for the church. So then, how is this going to unravel? What's going to happen? What are the rules, the guidelines that are going to guide the process of the great white throne? Well, of the judgment seat of Christ. Well, remember the great white throne, there were two sets of books. Books of works and the Lamb's Book of Life. But at the judgment seat of Christ, the only thing that will be judged is how or if we lived our lives for him. Again, 2 Corinthians 5:10, and this is from the Amplified Bible, which will give us a little more clarity on exactly what Paul is talking about. "For we all must appear and be revealed as we are before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one of us may receive his pay according to what he has done in the body, whether good or evil." The Bible then goes on to clarify exactly what's going to be judged at that time, how our works are going to be judged, considering what our purpose was and what we did, our motive, what we have achieved in this life, what we have busied ourselves with in this life, what we have given our attention to, what we have accomplished. Our life works will be tested, we're told, by the fire of God. In other words, it's going to be about us. How we lived, the choices we've made, the priorities we've developed, what we did with our time and energy. It's about whether or not we lived our lives for ourselves or for the kingdom of God. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll find out more about the judgment seat of Christ and our part in it. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 10 through 15. Again, speaking of the judgment seat of Christ, Paul writes, "According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it." So Paul is saying, I have come to you with the message of Christ, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have received him as Lord and Savior. And so the foundation of Christ has been built within you. The question is, now, how are you going to build your life on top of the foundation of Christ? He says in verse 11, "For no other foundation can anyone lay except that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, or precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's works will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built on it, endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet as through fire." So there's a couple of very important things we learn about this end time judgment for believers. First of all, that our works will be judged. Our lives, what we've invested into, what we've given our time to, energy to, the processes that we've gone through, the way that we have lived, and our attitude and motives, are going to be tested in that day by the fire of God. And the fire of God will then reveal of what sort our lives are. Aren't you glad he didn't say what size gifts that you have? He says, what sort, what kind? Is your life built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ in honor unto him? Or are we more the Corinthian type that Paul worried about, whose foundation of Christ was there, but they were building wood, hay, and straw lives that will burn completely away at the judgment seat of Christ? Now, why? What is the purpose of the judgment seat of Christ judgment? In the great white throne judgment, the purpose was condemnation, punishment, righteous judgment, eternal hell. The purpose for the why of the judgment seat of Christ is for reward and favor from God. Now, please understand, our salvation will not be an issue at the judgment seat of Christ. Our redemption, our going to heaven, is not an issue in the judgment seat of Christ. In fact, the judgment seat of Christ doesn't take place until we are in heaven. Romans 8 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." You say, yeah, but and what if? What if I don't pass the test? I mean, I think I'm a Christian. I believe I'm a Christian. I haven't been living my life in that expression of my Christian faith. And I'm afraid that when I am tested by the fire of God, that I'm not going to pass the test. Well, what I would say is to quote 1 Corinthians 3:15, if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through fire. You will be saved if you're at the judgment seat of Christ. You might smell like smoke for a while, but you will be in heaven. But really, is that the way we want to go? Is that the person we want to present to the Lord in that day? The fire of God will strip you of everything you have. The fire of God will burn and cancel the life you could have lived in honor of God. When Paul speaks of suffering loss, he's not saying that the fire of God is going to burn your garments, or the fire of God is going to burn away the treasures of this world. They're already gone. The only thing left is your life and the way that you lived it. When we look upon the foundation that Jesus provided for us, and we see that we've built nothing of consequence upon that foundation, that day in heaven, that day of the judgment seat of Christ, it will be a day of reward. We will receive that gold, silver, and precious stones from the Lord. What we're talking about is favor and blessing. Remember that when we get into heaven, it's going to be similar to earth, but not earth. We do everything we can in this world to position ourselves and to make it and to succeed and do all that we can in investing into this life. And we forget that the day is coming when all that's going to count is what we did in Jesus' name. That's it. And if our life work burns because it's proven to be selfish, independent from God, rebellious, we're going to be left with nothing in the kingdom. You know, there's used to be an old beer commercial that said, you only go around once in life, so go for the gusto, live it up, live today, for tomorrow we die. Get the best out of this life that you can, because when you die, then you're dead. Well, the truth is, we go around not once, but twice. And the second, eternal life, depends on this one, how we live today. I pray that God is stirring your heart to live in the joy of serving Him. I pray that God is stirring your spirit and speaking fire into your heart, that you want to serve him, that you will serve him, that you will find that spiritual giftedness the way God made you, and you will release the life of Jesus through you to the blessing of others. I encourage you as strongly as I can, do that today.
Thank you for joining us for this Highland sermon from Dr. Johnny Funderburg. If you live in the Clovis, New Mexico area, we'd love to have you join us one Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located at 2201 North Main Street in Clovis. For more information about our church, visit highlandclovis.com. And to let us know a little bit more about you, choose the Connect tab and click on our online visitor card. You can also submit your prayer requests under the Connect tab. Lastly, follow us on Facebook at hbc.clovis to keep up to date with our announcements, events, and online services.